Jacob's right. He did shame me this morning because I really just come just to hear Brother Jacob. I said, we'll slip in and hear Brother Jacob this morning, you know. And the Bible that I normally preach from and everything is at the church. But I've got several Bibles, and of course I had one at home and brought my Bible with me. And I had no idea I had any outline or anything in my Bible, because that's the way I preach. I have to have notes to preach from because of my memory. I can't remember things like a lot of these preachers can, especially young preachers. Now, when I was younger, I just have a few scriptures wrote down, and it was all fresh and just snap it off. But I tell you, it's not that way now. Now that I've gotten older, things is cloudy, and believe me, you would be glad now that I'm preaching from notes, because there ain't no telling what I'm liable to say if I didn't have them. Amen. And as I used to tell this here years ago, I heard about an old black preacher. He was going up into the mountains to interview for a church, you know. We call it candidating and different things, but he was going to go up there and preach a trial sermon. And he went up there and preached, you know, and he was asking him some questions before he preached. And they said, preacher said, we wants to know, said, now when you goes to the pulpit, he said, does you take notes? And he said, well, he said, I takes notes, but I prefer cash. Amen. And so, amen, I prefer cash, amen. Hallelujah. All right, Revelation chapter 3, verse number 7. Let me turn this on here. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 7. And boy, I come up here on this stage, and the way this is laid out, I don't know if Brother Jacob, he probably didn't notice it, but man, it kind of makes you dizzy up here. It's a different feeling up here than when, you know, you're down a little bit lower, but anyhow, everything's real nice and pretty. Y'all done a good job with the church here. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 7. I'm just going to read this one verse to kind of get our thoughts, and I do want to say this before I get into the message and all, that I do thank the Lord for bringing us through another storm. Amen. Lord watching over us, taking care of us. And, you know, the thing is the Bible says the Lord has his way in the whirlwind. And we don't understand why some people get hit and some don't, you know. But, you know, God has his way, and he has his reasons for what he's doing. And the Lord took everything we had. I mean, as far as material things, I mean, there was a few things we picked up and gathered up that was scattered around, you know, and tore up and dirty and nasty and stuff from the storm, you know, but the Lord spared our life. And Sharon, she received an injury on her knee and all, and the Lord worked all of that out and got her fixed up. But what I'm saying is although the Lord took everything that we had materially away from us, we've got more now than we've ever had. We've got a whole lot nicer church than we ever had. As far as the building goes, and our house, we've got a whole lot nicer house than we ever had. We spent most of our life, our married life, in a mobile home, single wide mobile home, amen, raising three youngins. And so that's the way we spent our life, and that's what we was used to it. We were satisfied with it and all of that. But the Lord seemed fit to take all that away from us and give us something better. I tell you, anytime the Lord takes something away from you, He's got something better in mind. Amen. He does. And so I thank the Lord for His goodness. Amen. God's just good. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 7. And to the angel of the church in Philippi write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I'm interested in that last little phrase there where it said, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I want to preach this morning, and I hadn't preached this message in a long, long time. But I want to preach this morning on when God shuts the door. When God shuts the door. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this opportunity we have to stand, Lord, before these folks here at Unity. And God, we pray you'll help us now as we come to this time of preaching. I pray, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you might be with us. And Lord, that you might fill us and that you might help us, Lord, to say what you would have us to say this morning. God, I pray you'd be exalted in our midst. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, Jesus identifies himself in John chapter 10 and verse number 9 as the door. He said, I am the door. He said, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Now, Jesus is the door of salvation and access into the family of God. Now, a door is something that's simple. And our Lord, he was a simple preacher in a lot of ways. Of course, he said a lot of deep truths, but he was simple where common folks could understand him. And a door is a simple thing, and it's just simply a passageway, a point of access into a certain place or a certain room. And Jesus is our door. He is our passageway. He is our entrance into heaven and eternal life. Amen. Now, Jesus is the ordained door, meaning that God has approved and appointed the Lord Jesus as the door of salvation. Calvary was no accident. In other words, God had planned this out before he had ever created the earth, before the foundations of the world, before he ever formed man. God had already planned out that they would be a door of access into the family of God, and it would be through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The Bible says, for as much as you know, you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, received from the vain conversation of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And so Jesus is the ordained door. But Jesus is also the only door. God not only ordained Jesus to be the door, but he ordained him to be the only door. He's not a way to be saved, but he is the only way to be saved. Amen. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen? And so there are many people today that are trying different doors. There are folks that are trying doors such as the door of works or the door of religion. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I believe that's the ways of works. To the natural mind, Brother Ernest, we think that, you know, if we'll just be a good person, and, you know, we'll be kind to our neighbor, and, you know, we'll go by the golden rule, that somehow or another God is going to be pleased with us and God is going to accept us. But, my friend, God does not accept that stuff. God has one way, and that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so there's no other way of salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. God has ordained it to be so. People may not like it. They may not agree with it. They might even try a different way. But I want to tell you something. You're not going to change it. Amen. The foundation of God stands sure. Amen. It's forever settled in heaven. Jesus is and ever shall be the only door of salvation. God doesn't have a backup plan. It's Jesus or it's hell. Amen. And so Jesus is the ordained door. He is the only door. But I want to say this. I like this. Jesus is the open door. And I don't believe in this limited atonement business. I know y'all don't either. Amen. The Bible teaches that the door of salvation is open and available to whosoever will. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, Jesus said, I'll in no wise cast out. Whosoever will come can come, and they're guaranteed acceptance. Now some may say, well, I'm just too sinful. I'm just too wicked and ungodly. But I want to tell you, God specializes in wicked cases, in bad cases. Amen. As a matter of fact, you can't get saved until you see yourself as sinful. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. The Lord can save all kinds of people. He can save old murderers like Paul, adulterers like Samson and David, and thieves like Matthew. Amen. And cursers like Peter, and doubters like Thomas, harlots like Rahab, heathens like Ruth, drunkards like Noah and Lot, liars like Jacob and Abraham. He can even save some religious folks like Cornelius and Nicodemus. Amen. The Bible says, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus is the open door of salvation for all those that choose to enter in by him. But here in our text, the Lord Jesus is not identifying himself as the door, but he's identifying himself as the doorkeeper. Amen. He openeth, no man shutteth. He shutteth, and no man openeth. Amen. Now, folk may be strong, but there's one thing about it. They're not stronger than God. When he opens the door is opened. And when he chooses to close the door is closed. Therefore, it's important to respond to his calling, do his bidding, while we have opportunity, while the door is open. Amen. Because there's coming a time when God's going to shut the door of opportunity for salvation and for service. Amen. And it's all going to be over. One day, God is going to shut the door of service on the saint. The night cometh, the Bible says, when no man can work. Life is short and full of uncertainties, and Jesus can come back at any moment. So if you're going to do something for the Lord, you'd better get at it. It's soon going to be over. I want to tell you what, I used to identify myself as a young preacher, but I've done got to be an older preacher now, amen. I'm 58 years old. I'm telling you, life's going on, amen. It's not going to be long. I'll be gone, amen. I will. I'll be gone. And who knows when the Lord might come. He might come today, amen. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it, the Lord would just come back right now. But one day God is going to come and he's going to shut the door of opportunity for you and I to do something for him. But then I want to say one day God's going to shut the door of salvation on the sinner. Now God's patient and God is long-suffering. He tells us he's long-suffering to us, word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. And so God would have all men, he said, to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so God is very patient. God's very long-suffering. And he wants folks to be saved. He doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. Although God is loving and although God is long-suffering, there will come a time when God's going to shut the door of salvation on the sinner. There comes a time when a sinner cannot be saved. And when God shuts the door of salvation on the sinner, there's nothing they can do to be saved. Their destination is sealed forever. Now, as I look at the Bible, I see three times in the Word of God when God shuts the door on the sinner. All right? The first one is at death. Amen. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. When you die, your opportunity for salvation is over. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. The way you are when you die is the way you're going to face God and eternity. There's no purgatory. There's no place of limbo. If you die, you will be eternally saved, or you'll be eternally lost. Amen? Now, in Luke chapter 16, verse number 19 through 26, Jesus paints a picture for us and describes us what happens to people after they die. I preach from this passage of Scripture a lot of times when I'm doing a funeral, especially when I'm preaching to lost people. Amen? But the Lord talks about what happens when people die. There were two men that died. One was a rich man. The other was a beggar named Lazarus. Somebody asked a question one time, why did the Lord give the name of Lazarus? He named Lazarus, but he didn't name the rich man. And the reason is God knew Lazarus. He didn't know the rich man. Amen. The Bible says there's going to come a time when the Lord's going to say unto them, depart from me, I never knew you. Never knew you. Now, Lazarus is pictured of a saved man who has forsaken the treasures of this world to lay up treasures in heaven. Amen. He didn't have anything down here, but he had the Lord. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, you're the winner if you got him. You may lose everything in the storm, but if you got him, you'll be all right. Amen. Lazarus didn't have anything, but he had the Lord. The rich man is a picture of a lost man who had everything this world had to offer, but he didn't have God. What is it going to profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, when Lazarus died, he was escorted by the angels into Abraham's bosom, which is a type of God the Father. He enters into a place of comfort and a place of peace and rest, into the very presence of God. The Bible says to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. Amen. And that's what happens when you die as a child of God. Amen. Amen. You go to be with the Lord, to be in the presence of the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful hope? Amen. Thank God we've got something to look forward to. But when the rich man died, he didn't go to a better place. He goes to a place the Bible calls hell. The Bible says the rich man died, was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. The rich man died, lost without God, and in hell he lifted up his eyes in torment. When the rich man died, immediately he was cast into the flames of hell with no hope of ever being saved. Amen. Now hell that now is temporary. It's sort of like a jailhouse. Amen. And when somebody dies lost, they go to hell, God's jailhouse. But one day they're going to be brought up before the judge at the great white throne judgment. And God's going to judge them according to their works. And then he's going to cast them into the lake of fire, which is God's eternal prison. Amen. And so that's what's going to happen when people die. They go to hell, then they're brought up to be judged, and then they're cast into the lake of fire. And so if you die lost, your destination is sealed, and the lake of fire will be your eternal home. If you die lost, God's door of salvation will be shut to you, and there'll be no hope of you ever being saved. That's why you need to get saved now, while you're living, while you still have time. Man that's born a woman is a few days, the Bible says. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also, has a shadow, and continueth not. Your life is short and so uncertain that you had better get saved while you have time. If you're here today and you're not saved, or you're not sure that you're saved, You need to get that thing nailed down now while you still have breath in you, while you still have time, while the door of salvation is still open to you. Because once you die, it's over with. Your opportunity is gone. Then the second place I see in the Word of God that people's the door is going to be shut is at the rapture of the church. The Bible says the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Jesus is coming back one day after His church, after His body, His bride. Only the saints of God are going to be taken out. The rest are going to be left behind. If you're not saved when Jesus comes, guess what? You'll be left behind. He gives us a parable in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, about 10 virgins. They're waiting for the bridegroom. Well, that's what we're doing. We're waiting on the bridegroom. There was 5 of them wise and 5 of them foolish. Amen. Now, all 10 virgins had lamps. Huh? But they didn't have, 5 of them didn't have oil in them. Amen. Lamps there is a picture of works or a picture of religion. Amen. But they didn't have no oil. The oil is a picture and type of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I don't care how religious you are. I don't care how many good works you may have. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. The bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And listen to what the Bible says. And the door was shut. Amen. Afterward also came the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Now, if you're not saved when Jesus comes back, the door of salvation is going to be shut to you. You'll never have another opportunity to be saved. Some say, well, I'll get saved, you know, after the rapture. And I'll just endure the great tribulation. No, you won't. Because God's going to fix it so everybody that had the opportunity to be saved before His coming, the Bible says that He is going to send them a strong delusion. And they're going to believe a lie that they all might be damned because they had pleasure in unrighteousness. Amen. They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now God's going to send that spirit of deception to those that heard the gospel before the coming of Christ. And the only ones that will be saved after Jesus comes are going to be those Jews who had been blinded, and those Gentiles that never heard the gospel. That's the only ones that will have an opportunity. And so, if there's somebody here this morning that's lost, and Jesus comes and you're left behind, the door of salvation will be shut to you. You'll be lost for all eternity because you've heard the gospel. Amen. You've heard the gospel. The bridegroom came. All that were ready went with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. He didn't tell us. He just said to watch and be ready. But once He comes and those that are left behind, it'll all be over. Amen for them. But then the third time that the door is shut on the sinner, not only at death and at the rapture, but thirdly, at the rejection of God's final call. The Bible says in Genesis 6 and verse 3, He said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. Noah taught us that. Amen. Noah's time. You look at Noah's time. He teaches you there'll come a time when God says, I've had enough. I'm not going to speak to him anymore. God will not always deal with an individual about being saved. Now, how many times would God speak to somebody before He leaves them alone? I don't know. He don't have to speak to us one time. But I want to tell you, I'm glad that He spoke to me more than once. A person can reject God so long and then God will reject them. Now, I don't believe in this irresistible grace. I believe a person can be enlightened to the truth, exposed to the goodness and grace of God, experience the drawing and the conviction power of the Holy Spirit, and then refuse to come. Stephen said to that bunch he was preaching to, he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." Salvation is a choice. You can accept it or reject it. You don't have to get saved. Oh no, you can die and go to hell. You can live for the flesh and live for the world and enjoy yourself down here and have a hi-ho time as far as you're concerned. But let me tell you something. There'll come a time God will leave you alone. There'll come a time God will quit speaking. You remember Esau? Esau, for one morsel of meat, the Bible said, sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Esau sold out the things of God for the things of this world. He rejected God's offer of eternal blessings and sold them to his brother for a morsel of meat. God said, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." Why did God hate Esau? Because he rejected God's blessings of eternal inheritance. In reality, he was rejecting the salvation of the Lord. Amen. God's angry with the sinner because, God is not angry with the sinner because of their sins, such as lying and stealing and committing adultery and murder. He took care of all that at Calvary. God's angry with the sinner for the sin of rejecting his Son as their Lord and Savior. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God, the wrath of God abideth on him." God's angry with the wicked every day. Amen. Esau found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Esau crossed God's deadline. He rejected God, and God in turn rejected him. You remember Pharaoh? 10 times God told Pharaoh, he said, "Let my people go." But each time Pharaoh hardened his heart against the Lord. And then at the end, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Bible says in Exodus 10, 11 verse 10, he said, "And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land." Because Pharaoh would not yield to God, God fixed it where he could not yield to God. Folks will say, "I don't want God, I don't want God, I don't want God." And then it'll come down to a time where God says, "I don't want you." Amen. And it'll be over with. God won't deal with them anymore. Jeremiah was praying for his people. And God said to Jeremiah, he said, "Stop praying for them." He said, "I'm not going to hear your prayer." He said, "Therefore," he said, "pray not for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee." God said, "Jeremiah, I'm through with them folks. Don't worry with praying for them no more." God was through dealing with them people. Now there may be somebody here today that's lost, and God has you here because somebody prayed for you. What if God told the ones trying to pray you in just to give up and quit praying because he wasn't going to deal with you anymore? He said, don't pray for that person no more. Just take them off your prayer list. He said, "They have rejected me. And he said, "I'm not going to deal with them anymore." God told Hosea, he said, "Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone." What if God said, they want the world more than they want me? Just let them alone. Do you know the worst thing in the world that could ever happen to a person is for God to leave them alone? People think, boy, I wish God quit dealing with me and quit bothering me and quit convicting me and quit troubling me and quit bringing up these trials and these things on my life. I wish God would just quit and just leave me alone. I tell you, that's the worst thing that could happen to an individual, is for God just to leave you alone. That's what's happening to America now. God is leaving us alone. Amen. God is just withdrew himself and has just left America to itself. And America is going downhill, my friend, in a snow sled. If a person continues to reject the calling of God into salvation, there'll come a time God will leave them alone, let them go their own way. God will fix it where there won't be no sin bothering them anymore. There'll be no preacher knocking on their door. There'll be no soul winner trying to beg and plead with them to come to Jesus. There'll be no drawing of the Spirit of God in their life. There'll be no desire in their hearts for the things of God. Just keep on rejecting God. After a while, God will leave you alone. If a person's determined they don't want God and they want to go their own way, there'll come a time when God will just oblige them and take the brakes off. You can just do as you please. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That's what happened to America. God has just let them, turned them over to do those things which are not convenient. Amen. He's just left them alone. When God turns a person over to a reprobate mind, he'll never bother them again about salvation. They'll die and go to hell in their sins. Because I called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. He said, but ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Then shall they call upon me, but I'll not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. You can reject God's word and God's will and God's way, but there'll come a time when God will reject you. You may be here and God's speaking to your heart and calling you, and maybe you need to come this morning and be saved. Like I said, there had to be a reason. Brother Jacob asked me to preach. Had to be a reason that we didn't have church and I'm here this morning. I don't understand all that. Had to be a reason that God, that Brother Jacob, when he asked me to preach, when I first, I didn't think I had anything. I said, Brother Jacob, I said, you preach. I want to hear you. And he said, well, he just crawled all over me. He said, well, you ain't doing what you told me. He said, you told me, you know, be instant in season, you know. And he said, you're supposed to be ready. You're supposed to have something, you know. And he crawled all over me. And I got back there, you know, and squirming around and flipping through my Bible and saying, Lord, what am I going to do, you know. And here this message is. Amen. And so there had to be a reason. And so you may be here. God may be speaking to you and dealing with your heart, saying, "Hey, this message is for you. You need to take heed of this message before the door is shut. You may be right at the point of no return. You may be fixing to cross over God's deadline, so to speak. This may be the last time that God speaks to you about being saved. Now, I don't know how many times God's going to deal with you. I don't know. This may be your last opportunity. You may die today. Jesus may come back today. God may say, all right, if you don't do it today, I'm going to leave you alone. I'm not going to deal with you no more. This is your last opportunity. You can hide behind your religion. You can hide behind your good works. You can go on pretending like everything's okay. But if you don't do something right now, today, the door's going to be shut. Amen. Today's the day of salvation. Yes, you know, you can't get saved no other time. Right. No. Today and right now. Right. Now is the accepted time. Yes. Day is the day of salvation. Amen. Lest God calls you and draws you unto himself, you'll never be saved. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me drawing. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Come while he's calling. Luke 13:23 says this, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? He said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many I will say to you, many I say unto you will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he will answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. Then shall you begin to say, well, we've eaten and drunken in thy presence. Thou hast taught in our street. But he shall say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Jesus is the great sovereign doorkeeper. He openeth, no man shutteth. And he shutteth, and no man openeth. When Noah and his family got on the ark, you know what happened? God, not Noah, not his family, not the folks outside, God shut the door. Amen? One group was on the inside of the ark. One group was on the outside of the ark. Only those inside the ark were saved. There are only two groups of people in the world today, those in Christ and those that are without Christ. If God shuts the door today on your life, which side of the door will you be on when God shuts the door? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thanks for helping us, Lord, with the message and giving us this opportunity. But, Lord, we think there may be someone here, Lord, that you're giving an opportunity to today to be saved. Lord, I pray, God, that this would be a day of yielding. God, that they come to the end of themselves and that, Lord, they say, I'm tired. I'm tired of living for myself. I'm tired of my sins dominating my life. I'm tired of not having any joy or peace. I'm tired of pretending and being hypocritical. I want something real in my life. Lord, I want to be saved. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll deal with somebody's heart today, and this will be a day that they'll surrender their all to Jesus. Lord, we plead for your mercy and grace upon the altar call. We plead for the blood of Jesus, Lord, for your power to be in this service to deliver. Lord, we can't do anything. We can't save anybody. But, Lord, you can. And, Lord, we pray for the saving, delivering power of the Holy Ghost to be in the service this morning. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.